The whole purpose of the new covenant is so that we might get to know God better. The new covenant was mentioned in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and it's quoted in the New Testament. And I want to show you a verse in Jeremiah where he's the man who spoke about the new covenant first. There was no prophet who used the word new covenant like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And he was the one who prophesied that the day is coming when he'll establish a new covenant with God's people. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, this man who was the prophet prophesying the new covenant says this. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Don't let the wise man brag about his wisdom. And don't let the mighty man boast about his might. And don't let the rich man. Jeremiah 9:23. And don't let the rich man boast about his riches. If you want to boast, there's only one thing worth boasting about. God says that you know me, that I am the Lord. Do you know that's the only thing worth boasting about on this earth? The things that even Christians inwardly boast about. Some about how good looking they are, or how clever they are, how well they did in their profession, or how God honored them with money or position or honor. It's all rubbish. It's all fit for the trash can. Never forget it. It's all fit for the trash can. The only thing that's worth boasting about, God says, is that you know me. That you know what type of person I am. That I'm full of loving kindness and justice and righteousness. That is the essence of the new covenant. If you haven't seen that, my brother, sister, you've understood a doctrine. So make it the pursuit of your life to know God, like Paul says at the end of his life. Turn with me to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. It's a great verse. Philippians 3 verse 8. Remember, Paul is writing this from prison. He was in a prison when he wrote Philippians. And he has already labored and he's raised the dead and he's planted churches and written scripture. But what does he say there? He says, yeah, there are so many things I've done, but I count everything to be loss. Philippians 3:8. Everything is loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. And I've considered everything as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Everything outside of Christ is rubbish. Have you seen it, brothers, sisters? Your ability, your qualifications, the things that you feel make you superior to other believers. What is it? If we don't have the right values, it will hinder our spiritual progress. In the paraphrase, it says, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord firsthand, I count everything else as rubbish. And he says, I count it like dog dung. That's the actual word. The dung on the road. See, that's how I look at it. Everything. except knowing Jesus. All the things that once I considered important, I've thrown it away. It's not only trash, it's dog dung. Only God's Holy Spirit can open our eyes to see that. And once we've seen it, the passion of our life will be to know Jesus better, to know Him better and better. And whatever trial He takes us through, that we might know Him better. See, Job had many good qualities, and you and I have many good qualities, sure, I'm sure. In fact, Job was the most God-fearing man on earth, and I think many of us are among some of the most God-fearing people, perhaps in Bangalore, I don't know, I hope so. But even if you are, even if God can point you out and say, there's a God-fearing man or woman in Bangalore, Job still did not know the Lord the way he should know Him. He turned his eyes away from evil. He was God-fearing and all that. But there was something in him that was missing still. And God was such a jealous God, you know. It's like a father who saw his son get 90% and says, son, I want you to get 100%. 90% is so good. I mean, if you get 90% in some tough examination, you're way ahead of most of the other believers are 40% and just pass marks, just going to heaven, and you're getting 90%. That's how Job was compared to all the other people in his day. And you may be like that because of the truths you've heard. You've taken life seriously. But God may still say there's something in you that's still missing. Don't compare yourself with others. One of the easiest ways to stop growing spiritually is to compare ourselves with others. You'll destroy yourself. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, those who compare themselves with each other are spiritual idiots. If you want to be a spiritual idiot, just compare yourself with other believers in CFC or other places and say, oh, thank God I'm not like them. That's what the Pharisee said. It's foolish. The only person worth comparing ourselves with is Jesus Christ. And there was something in Job that was missing. There was something in Paul that was missing. And that's why God had to... Paul was an upright man. He once said, I've lived all my life with a good conscience. Something like Job. All my life I lived with a good conscience, and yet something was missing. Job was a perfect and upright man, and yet something was missing. You know what it was? They were not broken. A man can be very holy and very good in many ways, and yet he may not be a broken man. And God has to break us before we can come to know Him better. And that's not something people seek for. Why did God take this godly man through sickness and bring him down to poverty? Only one reason. I don't think he became holier at the end of that. But he was a broken man by the time he came to the end of that experience. And the experiences God leads us through is to break us. I find many good people in our CFC churches. But I can sense when I get to know them, that they're not broken yet. There's not a brokenness in their life, and that's why God is limited in what He can do through them. The greatest work you can do for God, my brother, sister, this is what somebody told me when I was about 30 years old. The greatest work you can do for God is to fall into the ground and die. Do you believe that? Somebody told me that. You want to do a great work for God in India, brother? I was about 32 years old, and he said, if you want to do a great work for God in India, fall into the ground and die. That's not the type of teaching that most people give to young people. But if you haven't understood that, you missed out on the most important thing in the Christian life. And I knew it was true, and I decided I was going to die. Die to my reputation and die to the use of my spiritual gifts the way I thought I should use them. die to what people thought about me, just like that grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. The alternative is that you may be a beautiful Christian and you can be like a corn of wheat that's in a glass case in CFC. Everybody admires you. Wow, what a beautiful corn of wheat. Do you want that? There'll be no fruit in your life. If you're interested in admiration or fruit, if you want admiration for your Christ-likeness, put yourself in a glass case and all your life you'll be one grain of wheat. But if you want fruitfulness, let that thing go into the ground, let your reputation be ruined and spoiled, and let people say what they like about you. That grain of wheat goes into the ground and people trample on it. It goes inside the ground, it cracks open, it's broken. And when it's broken, the life inside that grain of wheat comes out. There's a life inside the grain of wheat. You know that? There's a life in every seed. That's what produces the trees. But that life will never come out till it is broken open. That's what I mean by brokenness. It's like the alabaster bottle of perfume. It may have wonderful perfume, but nobody gets a smell of it till it's broken. And that's when the perfume was broken and poured out, then the whole house got the odor of it. It's a message right through Scripture. Brokenness. Moses was an accomplished man at the age of 40. And he thought he could lead God's people. And God said, you got many good qualities. At the age of 40, he said, I don't want to be the ruler in Egypt. I reject the honor of the world. He rejected the pleasures of sin. Imagine a 40-year-old man. Rich, wealthy position in the best country in the world. And saying, I don't want honor. I don't want the pleasures of sin. And I don't want anything that this world can offer me. I don't want money. And God still says, you're not good enough. Yeah, I mean, you may be like that. Say, I don't want the money of this world. I don't want the honor of this world. I don't want the pleasures of sin. And you think you've made it. You know, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 24 and 26, that Moses said those words when he was 40. I don't want the pleasures of sin. I don't want the wealth of this world. And I don't want the honor of this world. You think such a man is spiritual. And God says, no. That's good. Now he's got to be broken. And it took him 40 years to be broken. And then God says, now you're ready for me. Till now you were just admired by the world. There's a man who doesn't live for money, who's kept himself pure, and who doesn't seek for honor. There you get the glory of the world. But God says, if I am to use you, I have to break you. And he took him for 40 years and broke him and crushed him till he was so broken that he said, Lord, I'm not fit to serve you. When Moses said, I'm a wretch, he meant it. We can sing Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. And I don't know whether you really believe you're a wretch. A broken man will feel like that all through. And it's a wonderful thing when God breaks a man so thoroughly. Because Moses had to remain broken for 40 years. And that's why it says about Moses, he was the humblest man in all the earth. All your holiness, my brothers and sisters, is not enough. When you know God, you'll be broken.